for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, and sitting with me in the studio is Mark Oshman, who is our regular Bible study teacher. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Well, thank you, Mark. As we now look at the seasons that is now upon us, we're looking at Hanukkah. You know, Hanukkah usually falls around our Christmas time, so I think there's a lot of people wondering, is Hanukkah the Jewish Christmas?
No, Hanukkah is not the Jewish Christmas, although the two holidays have many similarities. For example, during Hanukkah, children delight in receiving gifts. The gifts are not intended, however, to celebrate the birthday of a Messiah, as Christmas would be. In Hanukkah, gifts are given by Jewish people to their children as a way of commemorating the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem, a temple that had been defiled and was conquered, taken back again by Jewish forces led by Judah Maccabee.
Okay. Well, looking at Hanukkah, I think you've given us a little bit of light to that. I know that in the book of John, chapter 10, mentions that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, what was known as the Feast of Dedication. But can you give us a little bit more background on the story of Hanukkah?
Yes, the story of Hanukkah has a very interesting element to it. When the priests came back into the temple and found it desecrated, they knew that they had to cleanse it before the temple could again be used for sacrifices. However, so the story goes, they only found enough oil in the temple for one day's worth of light to do this work. They estimated that they needed at least 8 days to cleanse the temple in order to rededicate it. The story says that this one day's worth of light lasted for the entire 8 day period that the priests needed to rededicate the temple. This is commemorated in a very interesting way. One of the toys that children use during the Hanukkah season is a four-sided top known as a dreidel. That particular top has four Hebrew letters written on each side. The Hebrew letters Gimel, He, Nun, and Shin. They stand for a Hebrew phrase, a great miracle occurred here. Whenever children spin that top, that supposedly reminds them how God worked back in BC 165 in driving out the numerically superior forces of Antiochus Epiphanes and retaking the temple.
Well, that was quite a miracle, and I think it's amazing that Jewish people are still observing, even though this is a minor holiday on the Jewish calendar, that Jewish people are still observing. Well, what are some traditions of Hanukkah that you grew up with, Mark?
One of the fondest in my memory involves the foods we would eat. Since oil played such a prominent part in the Hanukkah story, Jewish people oftentimes would make meals using oil. One of my favorites were the potato pancakes, known as latkes. Potato latkes would be made by frying the potato patty in oil, deep frying it until it came out very crisp. Jewish people would serve that at meals, oftentimes covered with sour cream. The stuff tasted absolutely delicious, and to this day, I have fond memories of those Hanukkahs.
Well, I'm sure you probably play the dreidel, and also another thing that a lot of people do is light the Hanukkah and place it in the window. I think that's a good visual reminder of the miracle that took place.
Yes, indeed. Unlike the usual Jewish menorah, the Hanukkah lamp has 8 branches. The middle branch holds a candle that's used to light all of the other branches. That middle candle has a special name. In the Hebrew language, it's known as the shamash, or servant, minister candle. It is lit, and each day of the 7-day celebration of Hanukkah, it lights another of the candles on the Hanukkah. In a way, that was God's way of leaving a testimony of himself to the Jewish people of the work of Jesus Christ, who described himself as the light of the world, and who described Christians as lights of the world.
Well, that's a tremendous lesson for us to learn today as we think about Hanukkah. And I just want to let our listeners know that IBJM also has some tracts available for their Jewish friends that point to Jesus as the light of the world that Mark just mentioned. For more information, you can contact us at area code 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org for more information. Well, with that in mind, Mark, why don't you go ahead and bring us today's lesson from the Word of God?
I will do that. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to this radio broadcast. We will continue the first part of our study of Paul's epistles to the Corinthians. In this session, we'll look at the second epistle to the Corinthians and the first several chapters. Second Corinthians constituted perhaps the most personal of the Pauline epistles. In this work, the apostle defended his ministry and his apostolic authority against those in the Corinthian congregation who deemed him to be insignificant. He detailed the personal afflictions he had suffered for the sake of the gospel. In addition, he gave severe admonitions to the congregation. He even asked them, quote, "Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Unquote. In 2 Corinthians, the apostle touched upon the nature of the new covenant, especially in comparison with the old covenant. He also dealt with matters connected with Christian ministry and the characteristics of individuals called by God unto Christian service. Paul returned to two topics that he had covered in his first epistle to the Corinthians. He provided further instructions relating to the sinning believer that he had mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5. He also wrote about the collection he carried for the believers to Jerusalem, a matter he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The first chapter of 2 Corinthians opened with Paul praising God for providing him comfort in his times of need. Quote, "For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Unquote. The apostle mentioned the travails he had incurred while traveling in Asia, and how he had even given way to despair. How did Paul manage to endure during such hard times? He remarked that, quote, "We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead," unquote. By comforting Paul, God equipped him to minister unto others. Thus the Corinthian Christians benefited from Paul's sufferings. Quote, "Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that is, simplicity and godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward." Unquote. Paul intended to revisit Corinth in order to bless the church there. He had postponed that journey, however, in order to spare the believers. He did not want to come to them with a sorrowful spirit. Indeed, Paul wrote his admonitions to the church as a way of showing his concern for them. As mentioned earlier, the apostle brought up the situation of the man expelled from the congregation, as noted in the first epistle of the Corinthians chapter 5. The believers in Corinth had done what Paul recommended and cast the sitting man out of their fellowship. Paul commended them for their zeal in that matter. However, since the erring believer had repented and forsaken his sin, the apostle instructed them to forgive him and restore him back to their fellowship. Over the next few chapters, Paul wrote about the new covenant and its ministers. He declared, quote, "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place," unquote. To the saved, the gospel brought a message of life. To the unsaved, it delivered the message of death. Paul presented several contrasts between the Old Covenant, represented by the Mosaic Law, and the New Covenant. The Mosaic Law brought death, a thing that Paul noted in Romans chapter 7. The New Covenant granted life, as Paul emphasized in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The Old Covenant functioned as, quote, the ministration of death, unquote, and as, quote, the ministration of condemnation, unquote. Though the Old Covenant was glorious, the New Covenant possessed even greater glory. That latter agreement worked in the hearts of believers. indeed transforming them from glory to glory. The new covenant benefited those who embraced it. Quote, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, unquote. Through his Spirit, God transformed believers into the image of his Son, from glory to glory. Why then did everyone who heard the gospel not accept it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul provided this explanation. Quote, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, unquote. While spreading the gospel, Paul experienced many hardships. He described these in his epistle. Quote, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, unquote. Later in this epistle, the apostle would describe his sufferings in even greater detail. Paul avoided self-pity by viewing his adverse circumstances as a temporary phenomenon, insignificant in and of itself. As he wrote, quote, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, unquote. Believers' mortal bodies last only temporarily. God will replace those after death. Paul expressed his confidence that when he was absent from the body, he would find himself in the Lord's presence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the apostle addressed the subject of Christian service. He noted how he labored with an eye toward the impending judgment seat of Christ. Though that tribunal will not concern itself with a believer's eternal destiny, it will relate to God's evaluation of a Christian's work. Therefore, Paul wrote, quote, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, unquote. The love of Christ constituted the source of Paul's motivation for Christian service. He represented Jesus Christ, serving him as an ambassador, telling others that, quote, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, close quote. Paul provided a brief exposition on the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. Speaking about Jesus Christ, Paul penned these words, quote, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, unquote. In other words, Jesus Christ took the sin of the whole world upon himself at the cross of Calvary. Paul delivered a concise description of his ministry in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Quote, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, unquote. He also detailed the methodology that he employed when evangelizing others. Quote, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, unquote. The apostle warned the Corinthian believers, quote, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, unquote. Spiritual light and spiritual darkness cannot have fellowship with each other. If Christians separate themselves from the ungodly, Paul declared, God will receive them and be coming unto them as their father. Paul briefly addressed the church at Corinth because of his great love for them. He had previously made them sorrowful. However, he rejoiced over their repentance, the repentance that had resulted from his admonitions to them. Paul commended them for receiving Titus, Paul's co-worker. Furthermore, Paul praised them for refreshing his spirit. The apostle summed up by rejoicing because, quote, I have confidence in you in all things, unquote. We've come to the end of this radio Bible study. Please come back for the second part of our exposition of Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150. Or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.